too.
Everyone else ready?
Yep.
All right. Hi. Thanks for coming. Who was at the overview session? Came to the overview session previously. Some made it, some didn't. Well, thanks for coming anyway. Thanks for coming at 5 o'clock. My name's Daniel Savage. I'm a PM lead in the operations manager team. We did this session at MMS, and it turned out to be really useful because we do a lot of sessions where we sit and we kind of create the content, and then we kind of deliver it out, and we do some kind of quick Q&A, and then kind of off we go. The usefulness of the panel discussion is we get to get an open interaction with not just their customers, but kind of our field teams and our MVPs, and people kind of get to learn about Operations Manager, about how deployments are going, and how we're dealing with things. So we decided to repeat this again here, so we can kind of discuss topics that we don't cover in the static and kind of understand and get answers to your questions as well. So with that, at MMS, we had a lot more product team members there. But here at TechEd, myself and Joe are the operations manager representatives. But we're lucky enough in our communities that we have people like our MVPs and our field expertise that we can call upon to provide this expertise. And this is what we've done. And this is the four rather, I don't know, handsome-looking men? I don't know. We're all men in here. handsome-looking men here that I managed to bring in, and they'll introduce themselves in a minute, but I'll let Joe introduce himself.
Is this thing actually... It is on. Okay. I think they just turned it on or something like that. I'm Joe. I'm one of the lead program manager on the System Center Ops Manager product team. So been with the team about 6 to 7 years so far, and loving it.
All right, Ray?
Hi, I'm Raymond from Infront Consulting, based out of Malaysia. So we do System Center and MVP for 6 years.
Anders Bengtsson. I'm a PFE at Microsoft, working mainly with Private Cloud, System Center, and Orchestrator. I was a MVP with these guys before. You kicked me out. I'm very glad that I could join you.
Before you went over to the dark side.
Over to the dark side, yes. Yeah. But we have cookies.
Indeed. And I am Pete Zerger, MVP, American by birth, European by passport this week. Excited to be here.
Hi everyone, my name's Gordon McKenna. I'm a System Center, Cloud and Data Center Management MVP as well, like these guys. And like these guys as well, we all kind of started off as SCOM MVPs initially, so I've pretty much been working with SCOM all the way since the Sentry Enterprise Alert Event Manager product. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but that was the original product that SCOM came from. So I've been working with the product, I worked it out today, about 17 years now. So back since 1996, I think it was, something like that, 95. So quite a long time. And been an MVP now for 9 years, which seems like forever. As well.
He's showing his age.
Quite smart, and he's quite old. But the Yoda of SCOM.
like these guys too as well, I do a System Center consultancy, so I run a System Center specialist based out of the UK called Inframon, which is... you plugged your companies, I thought I might as well get mine on there. If anybody wants a really good consultant, then come and get my card afterwards.
So thanks, Gordon.
So here,
and I'll cut Gordon off more than that today. So here's the way it's going to work. It's really your session. If you have specific questions, stick your hand up. I'll give you the mic. If I don't give you the mic, we'll make sure we repeat the questions because it is being recorded. If you don't have questions or you want me to ask one of these four a question, or I can ask Joe a particular question, that's absolutely fine. But we can just start if anyone has a particular question on anything Operations Manager related primarily. But if you have anything that's kind of System Center wide, you want to talk about deployment experience or anything like that, we're kind of happy. We want to tailor this session so you get the most out of it, especially being the last session of the day as well. So, questions. Who's going to kick us off? Yes. Let me give you the mic.
Hi, I
be really interested if you could give me some more information around the global service monitoring capability within Operations Manager. Is that a good question?
That's a great question. I didn't seed him at all, by the way. So I was the lead PM on Global Service Monitor. So Global Service Monitor is one of the two or three attached services that we've been working on in Operations Manager. It's a service that allows you to provide availability and performance monitoring from points of presence that we provide as a service. It's part of our kind of application monitoring story. It's a service that you go subscribe to, you download a management pack once you've subscribed to it, and then through Operations Manager, you can go and configure to monitor your applications. Now, there's two ways to configure it. You can configure it by URL, so you have an application you want to monitor, like, for example, Microsoft.com or TechNet or MSDN. You provide that configuration to Operations Manager. You choose from the points of presence provided by Microsoft where you want to monitor, set of configuration, like if you want to monitor for a particular status code or you want to look for particular content, you provide that configuration. That information gets sent up to our Global Service Monitor service, a service running in Azure. It's distributed to our points of presence and starts testing your application. The application flows back into your Operations Manager deployment so you can understand the state of it. We also integrate with Visual Studio so that if you've got a complex transaction, say you want to actually test a scenario in your application, one of the things Joe showed earlier was this Dinner Now application and running a search and it being slow, you can actually record that transaction in Visual Studio and run that same scenario via Global Service Monitor as well. Does that specifically, or is there anything more you were looking for? Okay, cool. Next question. Good start. Yes. I'll go here and I'll come here. I'm going to run around, lose some weight.
What I was going to ask is, does 2012 allow you to be able to monitor multiple customer environments, you know, from the one management group? Does it bring any additional pieces?
Okay, I'll just iterate, and I think on more like in a multi-tenant way. So I have multiple customers, say in like a service provider type way, one monitor different environments. Who wants to take that one?
Yeah, I'll start, and then I'll pass it over to the guys. Really, I think I'm on the mic
before
here.
Before he starts, if he's wrong, I will correct him. So.
So,
and I'll cut him off if he takes too long.
Yeah, I do a lot of work with service providers. So there's two ways of this. First of all, you can manage up to four different management groups from an agent. So that's called multi-homing of the agents. That's a way that you can kind of separate at the back end. More so from a service provider perspective. Yeah, more so from a service provider perspective. The multi-tenancy issues aren't so much in the architecture because you can deploy agents with certificates or gateways with certificates. I think typically most service providers put a gateway in per customer and you can brand that with a site code so you can easily identify which customer's gateway is which. The multi-tenancy challenges really come with the data end at the back end. How do you partition up your data warehouse? And there's various tricks you can do with that. With some service providers, we've created registry keys on particular clients. Then we use attributes to collect those registry keys. And then we can create groups, automatic populating groups based on those registry keys. That's one way of doing it. Distributed applications are another really great way of domaining data, if you like, because you can create a distributed application for each customer, drop your objects into that, and then you can alert scope, notify off that group that you've created. Because when you create a distributed application, you create a class within a product that contains a number of entities, monitors, and objects. Yeah. So that's kind of just some ways. I know you guys want to pipe in with them.
Yeah, so one of the other challenges comes in the management packs. You're going to create overrides per customer, right? And what you'll find is those management packs, the overrides per customer, will show up on the agents for the other customers, even if they don't actually apply, right? And so I remember it's over in London with a service provider, and they had that call from a customer, why is this other company's data on my server? And so you want to make sure that those override management packs you create, you create some sort of code, right? Some sort of translation so customer A doesn't learn of customer B. It's not a security risk so much as a sort of comfort level
with your customers in that respect. So with regards to the data, you know, Gordon raises an important point that, you know, from a reporting perspective, you're not going to put them into your data warehouse in the first place, and if you did, you're not going to be able to carve that data up per customer. So there's a pretty big service provider here in the States that's a good pal of mine, and he's using, well, basically SQL queries, you know, and or PowerShell to dump data out to specific reports. I've got another service provider up in Canada that's taking their data out with SQL and pumping it into, you know, some other database where they can carve it up with your performance point and SRS. So the reporting becomes a challenge, right? So you've got to get the data out of the DW, in my view anyway, and put it somewhere where you can carve it up or just dump it and deliver based on what your metrics are that you're required to deliver out to your customers.
Thanks, Pete. Sure. So I'll just add on to that. I mean, I think that these guys have been living with the fact that as a product, we haven't really... Office Manager wasn't built up as a multi-tenant product to begin with, right? That doesn't mean it isn't possible to work in certain configurations to do that, and obviously our MVPs have kind of shown what is possible to monitor multiple customers, and we have service providers doing that. I would say going forward, just from an Operations Manager roadmap, multi-tenancy is something that we're going to have to do a better job of and look at how we do that. Certainly, if you look at where we're going with cloud and tenants within private clouds, I mean, the problem's only going to get bigger. So we have to go in and invest in kind of making it more of a first-class way to go and solve multi-tenancy. But there is options you can have now. There's various blogs, and I'm sure these guys would love to talk to you more about that. So, okay. But is there anything else? Is that? Okay, thanks.
But I guess it depends on a little bit what kind of level you want to provide to your customer. If, as Gordon and Peter say, if the customer just want to look at report data, you can have some kind of other interface, so they don't even know about Operation Manager in the background. But I guess it gets a little bit more complicated if they are about to import their own management packs and do their own overrides and so on. Then you might need to build some kind of layer in front of Operation Manager also. But it gets quite complicated. Yeah.
So just say no when that question comes up. No, no, you may not import your own management packs.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you. I have one question, actually. Yeah, sure. Can you tell me a bit about the vision you're maintaining regarding the overrides, which can be applied to the management packs which exist? And the reason why I'm asking that is because I'm one out of two Scrum administrators in a company consisting out of 5,000 people, about 1,500 servers, lots of management packs, and I'm having difficulties maintaining all those overrides. As a matter of fact, at this moment, I think I'm working in the eighth month of the migration from 2007 R2 to 2012 SP1, only because there are so many overrides and they are so difficult to maintain. Earlier today, I've attended a session regarding SQL. I've also attended sessions regarding Windows Server. And the things that caught my attention is that the product owners of the other System Center teams, that's the wrong word, the other teams maintaining the System Center product within my company would be able to maintain or apply the overrides themselves. For instance, Exchange administrators can be able to decide for themselves which alert should be visible or not. And the same applies to the storage part for Windows 2012. The administrator actually can decide the override for themselves and implement it in the product itself without the intervention of Operation Manager.
We actually created something like that for a customer. So we had a challenge with a number of customers where everyone was quite aware of Operation Manager, that was the tool to use. But the problem was, as you're saying, it was just too complicated. So if the Exchange admins wanted to monitor event ID 100 or something, they needed to submit a ticket, and then it took like 3 weeks, and then someone called them asking, do you want a monitor or a rule? I have really no clue, they responded. So what we did was we created a new integration pack for Orchestrator with a lot of Operation Manager activities like create rule, override rule, create monitor, update group, and so on. And then we publish a number of offerings in the Service Manager portal, so everyone can just go in there and they can order a new override, and then the orchestrator will execute and build that in the correct way. And they also get small CIs for everything that they build, so they can also go in there and delete some of their old overrides or delete if they order a monitor one day and maybe then they realize they don't want it anymore, they can just go in there and delete it. So the ops manager admins are not doing anything like that anymore. It's everything is just self-service for the different teams.
Okay. I'll talk a little bit about, because you started with the vision, right? A question on vision. So you're presuming like what we would do in future versions of our product. I think management of overrides, management of configuration is something that we have to simplify going forward. If you actually, Joe's demo on Advisor, if you look at the Advisor alerts they have and you have simple tasks which are like ignore alert, okay, which is really the same as, oh, I wanted to override something and turn it off or change it. So those type of things, I think we're going to have to evolve our product, particularly when you start talking, tying in the multi-tenancy as well, where you're doing something on behalf of customers and they want to be able to do anything. You don't want to be exposing such a concept as override. It'd be like, I want to set my threshold to this, or I want to monitor this, or turn off that. I think those are the types of things that we'll need to do. With regards to the current set of problems, as Anders talks about, there's a way for you to kind of solve these things kind of now, and there's various ways you can kind of minimize that overhead. And I do think there's a better job that we can do with some of our offline tooling as well. So like as in the authoring tools for around certain management packs and that, which I think we'll have a better story for when we get to RTM as well. So, but I think we certainly recognize that's an area that we need to improve on, and I think the concept actually needs to evolve into more of a simple configuration type experience like we already have an advisor. So.
And just to add, I mean, there are, I don't know if you've looked at Jarlasoft, Silect. They have an MP Studio, which is a third-party tool that you can buy that's specifically designed at MP lifecycle management. And that allows you to kind of, it has a vault in it where you can put down multiple versions of management packs and roll back and forward between management pack versions. And it does the whole auditing bit, so any changes that are made in the management packs audited. It also has compare features where you can compare new management packs against old management packs and see what's changed in them, as well as actual documentation features around that as well. And things like bulk overrides, you know, and going back to the service provider scenario, something that we've implemented at a couple of service providers is switched everything off in a management pack and then turned stuff on for various different service levels for a customer. So we had one service provider had a gold, platinum, bronze level, and gold, silver, bronze level, and basically we switched on various levels of monitoring, which is kind of like what they used to do in System Center Essentials with the always on switch off monitoring. But those are things that you can also look at for grasping the problem. You know, switch a lot of it off and then just turn on the stuff that you need. You know,
Tim.
MP Studio, yeah, I think they're here today. Silect are actually out on the park.
Yeah, they have a booth in the expo hall. Okay,
so great question. That's specifically designed for
Thanks.
That.
Next question.
Tell them I sent you, by the way.
Yes.
We are in the middle of moving for our Windows stacks to SCOM, but on the other hand, we are a large enterprise and are using IBM products and also HP products for service management. Are there any out-of-the-box integration possibilities, capabilities? So that's my first question. And the second one is about management packs. And I've learned that you are responsible for management packs, so I don't have your email address yet. But is there any management pack for MQ? Yes? Yeah.
Just so we capture my responses on the recording, dsavage@microsoft.com. I'll get in there before Joe gives it away. dsavage@microsoft.com is my alias, email address. I am responsible for management packs, all of them. Yes, and there is an MQ management pack. If you actually, Joe, you can probably bring it up here, aka.ms/MP catalog. Then he'll bring it up while I'm talking.
Hold on a sec.
While I bring that up as well, just another one to look out on the partner pavilion. I sound like I'm punting ISV vendors today, but there's a company out there called eView that do some IBM management packs around M-Series. Do you run M-Series hardware in there as well? So they do some management packs for Operations Manager that cover a lot of the IBM platforms, and they're just actually opposite Silect out on the partner pavilion. So if you go and track them down and definitely have a look at what they've got, and they're from an IBM background, so they have a lot of specialization in in managing, particularly IBM mainframe type products as well.
Yeah. So that's the management pack related question. aka.ms/mpcatalog. This is the wiki we maintain, and the community help maintain it as well. It contains what's up and coming for the management packs coming out of my team. And then if you scroll down, there's a huge list of all the management packs for all the workloads we have. Microsoft MSMQ, there you go. Version too far. You went too far. There's 3, 4, 5, and 6, and then there'll be a new version coming out with the next release as well, so they're all there. Back to your first question. Your first question was on integration. When you say integration with other systems, as in forward alerts to another system or pulling alerts from a system, is that the type of integration you're looking at? Or okay, so...
Pull some discovery information from tools like Tatum or HP.
Okay. So the first part was about sending alerts up to Omnibus or pulling discovery information in. I think this, from an orchestrator perspective, are you aware of a product in our suite called Orchestrator? Yeah. So the point, just I'm trying to capture for the recording.
I'll kick it off and then I'll hand off to the Swede.
Okay,
I'll just... Here. So Orchestrator, which has integration packs, has an integration pack for NetCool Omnibus. So there's going to be some two-way possibilities there for you to watch for alerts in Omnibus and to potentially create the equivalent or forward them, so to speak, into Operations Manager with Orchestrator. And that could potentially be a two-way street or one way in either direction, frankly. I think it just depends. If you're going to Ops Manager, then it sounds like you'd be flowing into Ops Man until you flip the switch off with IBM, right? So that integration pack would be a good start. Do you have anything to add there, Anders?
Well, we generate the alert. We don't really generate the object. That right. might be, if you're moving between the products, that's quite important to realize that we can generate an alert on the Ops Manager side, but we will not generate a computer on the Ops Manager side. It has to be discovered on the Ops Manager side.
So it's not going to be stateful, really.
Right.
But if you just want to get kind of a manager of managers during that migration, it's going to be quick and dirty and relatively easy to implement.
Yeah.
So we've moved away from Ops Manager having its own connectors. There is some that there. I mean, they're not deprecated. They're still there. They still exist. But Orchestrator is our integration story to and from other systems, and that's where we will make investments going forward. So, okay. Does that answer your?
I'm also interested because this morning I saw the discover topologies. Is it possible to also have to pull? Topology information from tools like HP Service Manager, because we see our CMDB as our single source of truth. So it might be that your monitoring tools discover some other topology, but you want to compare that with our single source of truth.
That's a fair question. I think I'm not aware of anything out of the box that helps with that. We certainly have an extensible interface that allows you to insert topology into Operations Manager. One of our partners, BlueStripe, does exactly that, discovers dependencies and relationships between components and applications and inserts them as distributed applications into Operations Manager. So it is possible, but I'm not aware of anything on the HP side that specifically does that. I don't know if...
No, I mean, I think we spoke this morning about... And I mentioned speaking to Martin over in Holland, because he's in your neck of the woods. Now, Martin's also got a company called OpsLogic. They do a lot of management pack development. So as well as being able to help you on the consultancy side, he'll definitely have some development capabilities that could help you make some of that a reality.
Yeah. Joe, did you want to add? Or? No? Anyone? So you can email me if you get any support or reach out to Martin or stuff like that. So yeah. I'm sure there is a solution. So
you'd mentioned HP Service Manager, yeah? Yeah, so there's an integration pack and orchestrator for that as well. So with if memory serves, it's been a while since I've cracked that one. It's good for working with work items, you know, so alert to incident creation type information.
Or if you want to create like CIs on the service manager side.
Yeah, but I don't remember being able to easily traverse relationships,
so
could you?
So we HP service manager integration pack, and there isn't anything to kind of port over the diagrams or the service maps from service manager and automatically create the diagrams for...
Yeah, I couldn't find a way to traverse the relationships, just you could get CIs, but there was no way to sort of tie who
alerts
belonged to who.
It's there, but...
But I guess in service manager, you could create them like a business service. That wouldn't be too complicated.
Yeah.
But everything in ops manager needs to be discovered.
Yeah.
I guess that's the whole trick here,
so
that you can't just create objects in there.
That's also a little bit a problem, but because the new version of HP Service Manager relies on discovered information already coming from another tool called TADM, Tivoli Application Dependency and Discovery Manager. So that tool is filling up the UCMDB with topology information, and it's there, and it will be it will be audited by configuration managers, and then it's the real state we trust upon. So it's already discovered, and we don't want to run several discovery tools in our environment.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, you can use web services.
Yeah. I think it's a fair problem to solve, if we can move on, and next question. Okay, sorry.
Sure,
absolutely.
So basically all HP products should have a web service. If it's not a web service available for this function, you can just create a web service, and then in Orchestrator you have the invoke web service activity where you can get but also post information. Maybe that's an option as well.
Okay, good point. Thanks for that. Okay, next question. Okay. We're all the way over here.
Hello again, Pete.
Didn't you reach your quota today?
No, I wasn't going to ask this question, but the gentleman opened the door there. Obviously, I'm looking at taking alerts from the mainframe into what I was speaking to Pete earlier on, it was Orchestrator, but I never even cast my mind to have a look at Ops Manager. Is there anything in the pipeline, or is there any options available with regards to taking an alert from the mainframe through, well, we had this conversation about Orchestrator, but obviously through Ops Manager at all?
Yeah. I mean, is the mainframe IBM?
Yeah,
EView. On the vault, they have a connector from IBM M series directly into Ops Manager.
Yeah, but we're running Z series.
X series as well, yeah. Go and speak to those guys, because they're the main IBM mainframe specialist for Ops Manager, and they have connectors that specifically pipe data to and from Ops Manager without Orchestrator. It's a connector and management pack. But those guys are the specialists in it, yeah.
But, he and I were whiteboarding this morning, so you had Orchestrator in there, but we had Service Manager, right, as the ultimate home?
ServiceNow.
Yeah, Service Now. Sorry. So if you get it into OpsMan, you can pick it up with a monitor alert.
Exactly.
And get it down to ServiceNow, and so I'll not hold your choice of service desk components against you.
Well, we're going to use it for topology, but we decided not to go there.
Yeah.
But do you know if eView does it bi-directional?
It is bi-directional, yeah.
Ideal.
Yeah, it's very good stuff. If you go and get the demo off them, it's a very convincing demo that they give. So definitely worth walking the floor and going and have a chat with them. And I say the right opposite, Select and Civision are there as well.
With Select and Civision this morning. I never noticed these guys.
So yeah, right opposite them there.
That's grand. Thank you, Jinx.
And just to add to that.
Thanks for your question.
We've done eView twice in... they have a good licensing model as well. Like for the P series, even if you have some virtual environment sitting in the IBM service, you get charged only by the physical service. So it's not like by LPaaS or stuff. So I think that's a good model that they have as well.
even if I was to go, well, here's a different question. If you, if I was, I was looking at the orchestrator side, but obviously on the ops manager side, if I go down eView, then obviously I'm going to have a license cost for eView.
Yeah.
But there's obviously going to be another license cost there for ops manager.
Yes.
So for one eView, I've got the upfront cost, and then I've got the double license cost in theory.
Yes, you're paying for a bit of functionality that connects the two up, basically. Right. But to be honest with you, if you were buying Orchestrator and you want to plug Orchestrator into ServiceNow, you'd be paying for that as well.
I have Orchestrator and I've got it plugged into ServiceNow. Well, sorry, I've had it for three weeks and I've got it plugged into now.
Yeah, unless you're obviously doing it yourself via the web services. But if you were to buy the Calvarium pack, for example.
Which we have.
Okay.
But they don't charge you a license fee. They're just a one-off. There you go. But that's fine. I'll have a wee chat with the guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Next question. Yes. And if you don't have a question or you want to see like a demo or some functionality in Operations Manager, I'm sure Joe would be, he's kind of looking a bit bored up there. We can get him to do a demo. We kind of missed some stuff.
There you go.
Earlier. So if you like want a demo, you don't have a question, we can do that as well. So.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the authoring tools that are the changes in coming with the RTM?
Sure, I can do that, I think, yeah.
Authoring tools?
Yeah. Do you want to take that?
Yeah, you're going to take that.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah. So, we're, as with any release, we look at kind of our authoring experience, particularly around our management packs and how we need to provide a set of tools for IT pros or for developers to go and do that. In the past, we've made investments like in the authoring console in 2007 R2, but since 2012, we've kind of moved away from that, and we invested in two areas. One was the Visual Studio authoring extensions, which has some ridiculously long marketing name as well, which is really focused at the developer. It's what I, when we're building management packs inside Microsoft, I point the developers at, and it provides the ability to develop your management pack in the whole development lifecycle. And we will continue to make investments in the Visual Studio authoring tool, and it will be released and updated for Visual Studio 2012 when we release 2012 R2 later this year. So that really covers like the people who are familiar with development, want to work in developer-based tools for development management packs. The other areas like the IT pro is how do we provide an experience tailored to the IT pro for the creation of management packs. Now, we released a preview of this, the Visio tool, and it was really to introduce a concept of patterns. Kind of how can we simplify the ability of crate authoring through like a series of questions. I just want to author my line of business applications. I just want to gather some events from a Windows server. So we're currently evaluating the feedback on that tool and looking at some of the gaps that it may have. For example, when you create an MP from the Visio tool and then go and update the MP somewhere else, you can't get it back in. So it's kind of broken from those things. But the patterns and how you do monitoring through intent is something we need to carry forward. I was speaking to someone after the last session who asked the same question. I don't have what that will be, but by the time we RTM, I guarantee we will have a story on what that IT pro authoring is, because we know that we need to make an investment there. Okay, is that the, okay? Okay, next question, or anyone want to see a demo?
Shows the Visio authoring.
Have you got that? I don't think he has that. but there is a lab here. I don't think he has that. Do you have that, Joe?
Visio authoring?
Yeah.
No, I don't have that.
Sorry. Anything? Okay, next question.
Do you want to clarify our strategy on that?
I thought I did. So just to clarify on the Visio tool, we've released a preview. We don't yet know whether that will be the tool we will release at RTM. We're taking feedback on the patterns, and by RTM we'll have a story. I will say it's unlikely it will be that tool. So that's the kind of way we're looking at it.
I've got to add, the Visual Studio extension is definitely where you should be focusing your thought chain when doing management pack authoring. Because it's fairly easy. Even, you know, most IT pros kind of get a bit scared when Visual Studio comes into the frame. But it's a fairly easy tool. All of my guys only author in that
extension now. And it, you know, incorporates some of the nice Visual Studio features like snippets and templates that you can use. So there's some pretty cool things you can do with it, but definitely that's where I would be getting my head into from a management pack offering point of view. Yeah, and another thing I'll say, and I'll try not to be controversial here, but for all of you guys that are working in Operations Manager, I would definitely think about only authoring in the tool and not in the console, if you can. Yeah, now the console's fantastic for doing quick wizard-based template type stuff, but actually when you get under the covers with the XML and the management pack that it creates, it's not always the cleanest implementation, and that's a trade back from having stuff in the UI, the fact that you get kind of some not too pretty UIDs. But if you can get into authoring, so for example, my team do a managed system center service, and my team do all their overrides in the authoring management pack as well. It's much more cleaning, and if you can do your whole management pack experience in that one tool, it's a lot easier to deal with kind of like MP lifecycle issue problems, and it's a lot easier understanding what's going on. I think that's probably the same for you guys as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't argue with these points. I will.
I believe.
And I could, but I won't. Yeah. He's absolutely right. I mean, I think that one thing we've learned from the Visio and what the Visio tool actually does is you can take an intent of the user to say, I want to be able to do some kind of monitoring for something. And what we actually do under the covers is we have well-formed management pack XML that gets generated. This is what we call pattern-based. So we know, unlike maybe the console implementation where it maybe generates something that's hard to read when you look at an XML, the Visio tool showed us that we can create XML that has a life cycle and stuff around that. So I think what we need to do, and the Visual, you're right, the Visual Studio tool is great, but we know that IT pros don't want to use Visual Studio for some of their tasks, and we need to go and provide a tool that isn't Visual Studio. But we need to take everything that we've learned from Visio, everything that's maybe not right about the console, and build that into it. That's why I'm saying that we don't have a date for Visio now, because we need to go and solve that problem. And I, from owning management packs and owning authoring tools, I'm not prepared to put out something that only covers half the functionality people need just for the sake of providing something. So we want to provide the right thing. But we will have a story by the time we RTM. So, okay.
Daniel's butt online on this. He will deliver. He's working on it.
That is true. Thanks, Joe. Next question. Any requests for a demo?
Like, Daniel, can I kick something off? So how many people in the room have 2007 today? And are you guys looking at moving to 2012? What kind of stage are you in? Design stage, maybe, just thinking about it? Is that generally where you're at? Just some gotchas to throw out there when you're kind of doing your design bit. So obviously, you know, one of the great things about moving to 2012 is we've got rid of that, your favourite component, which is the root management server. Which I'm imagining for most of you that have had 2007, it looks like a big piece of physical tin with lots of memory in it. You know, and it had a lot of issues because it was a single point of failure and you had to cluster it, and, you know, if it went over, your console fell over. So one of the great new features in 2012 is the fact that we now have these resource pools that share that root management server functionality. And so, you know, you can put that on commodity VMs. And you can kind of, if you run into performance issues, you scale it out, and those old root management server services that used to run on that single box get spread out over that load. But a couple of kind of things that I've found people have been gotchas for people when deploying that is a couple of things that have happened with that redesign. Yeah, one is that there's now a five millisecond latency rule now between those management servers. So all of your management servers you deploy have to really be within 5 milliseconds. I don't know whether that's improved any with R2, Joe, that 5 millisecond latency rule, or whether that's kind of roughly the same guidance that you guys are giving.
Yeah, I think.
Well, we've given you more options.
I know, yeah. That's what I was asking. But, you know, let's say 5 milliseconds is kind of a standard. So a lot of you will have management...
But just to be clear, it's 5 milliseconds between the management server and the DB, not between your management servers. Then, and it's not actually 5, it's more... And it depends on
five
the deployment
to 15,
size.
Shall we say.
Kind of 20. We have I don't know whether I published the. We're working with the our communities. Me and Joe actually did a presentation to our PFEs a couple of weeks back where we kind of talked about various size deployments and high availability scenarios. For example, if I'm a shop with 200-300 servers, what does high availability look like? Or I'm someone with 3,000-4,000 servers, what does high availability look like? I'll take a follow-up to find out, because there's a deck out there that kind of covers what Gordon's saying on the deployment tasks and provides kind of the specifics over what are those, some of those gotchas from our perspective, and these guys can add to it from their field perspective.
So to put me in a safe place, let's say 20 milliseconds.
Between managed and server and DB, but it does depend on the size of the deployment and the topology you're working in.
Okay, my understanding is there is a latency limit between the management servers, because if one management server goes down, the others have to understand what roles are running on it so they can pick up. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Joel? Yes, there's a lease mechanism that is between them to ensure that the pool stays up and healthy.
Yeah.
But typically, that payload between the management server, that lease data item, is pretty small.
Yeah.
So the guidance here is really the 5 milliseconds between the management server and the DB.
Yeah.
Mainly because we're worried about the discovery item that are coming in from their actual managed environment. And when those data comes in, the management server needs to take that and write it to the DB pretty quickly. Because when we removed the root management server in the 2012 release, what we did was that rather than doing the in-memory representation of your entire topology, which the management server needs to understand so that it can intelligently send out the management packs accordingly, we took that away and put it into the DB. So now the DB keeps track of an incremental progressive changes that is happening across the topology. And when that happens and you have discovery data coming in, there's a lot of DB IOs that is happening between the management server and the configuration table inside the database. So if you've got a small environment, like you've got like maybe 250 agents to 300, then the latency can be a little bit longer to, like, I think my prescription to you is about 25 milliseconds
That's right, yeah.
Because there's just, the DB can handle more. But if you're talking about like a 10,000 agents environment, then I really want to make sure that the latency between the management server and the DB is small, so that you don't have latency across, kind of like you have that domino effect, where you have a set of discovery coming in from one segment of your network, impacting other activity that is going on in the management server pool.
Yeah, and the reason I mention that is because most of you, or some of you, may have management servers in other data centers. So typically, if I had 2 or 3 data centers, I might put a management server or a pair of management servers in each data center. And what you really need to be looking at now is what the latency is between your data centers. And that's the important point from this. So, basically what I'm seeing is people are now consolidating their management group, management servers and database, in one data center location. And actually, where you had management servers in other data center locations before, they get replaced by gateway servers. Yeah, because there's no latency limit on a gateway, because it's not talking directly to a database, it's talking to a management server. So those are some changes when thinking about how your 2007 infrastructure translates to 2012. That centralization of your main components, and also that replacement of management servers that are over longer latency links with gateway servers now. So it's a slight topology change within that.
That's good. Thanks, Gordon. And these guys and all of them up there can provide a lot of guidance. Feel free to reach out to them. There's one thing I was going to add to that, but I can't remember. I lost it. Any other questions? Yes.
Probably a bit of a nonce one, but like the gentleman along at the end, I'm replacing some IBM tech products with the Orchestrator and Ops Manager. One of the services that we provide is a wee front end to go and do a wee ping check to make sure a port's open. Now, I'm aware in Ops Manager 2007 there's a ping check authoring that will actually generate it. We run that, it must have about 1,200 ping checks. And the overhead seems to be amazing, as in way too high.
Yeah.
Is there something different when we move to 2012, or is there a better way to do this?
First of all, on that, there was no ping check out of the box. So what you have in your environment is a third-party ping. There was no ping check out of the box for 2007.
A synthetic transaction, you said.
Oh, yeah, so there was no synthetic transaction that did a ping check out of the box.
I'll clarify. Where do you see the overhead? Just on what?
It'll be a third-party one.
Yeah. We've nominated two proxy management servers to handle more.
And this is 2007 R2? Okay. So 12,000 synthetic transactions from two separate proxy agents.
So URL check rather than... when you said ping, I had ping in mind, as in...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's way above our supported number of transactions per management server. I think we recommend 2,000 per management server, so I'm not surprised you're seeing kind of overhead on those agents doing things. Yes. 1,200. So, if it's 1,200... If it's 12, yeah, not 12,000, so yeah. I mean, if it's 1,200, you should be within 2,000, right, per management server. Is our
with support. 2012, isn't it? I don't think it was for R2, wasn't it?
About no, it was 2007 R2 we made.
You're running 2007 R2, yeah?
Yeah. So I would say it'd be more of kind of trying to investigate. You shouldn't, I mean, if the hardware spec correctly, and I mean, from our supported configuration guide, you shouldn't be seeing that, and maybe it's a support case to kind of look into that. So, okay. I want to come back to the high availability, the resource pools. One of the things, I mean, Joe, whenever we have a conversation with anyone about these design deployments, is that there's a lot of our guidance is based on specific what you're doing with Operations Manager. A lot of people ask us, how many servers does Operations Manager can manage? What's at scale? And our response is always it depends on what you're doing, right? Because if you're monitoring, you have 1,000 management packs doing 1,000 different things on all these servers, you're generating a lot more data, a lot more relationships, a lot more discovery. So what you can actually scale the management group to is a lot less. So in these high availability things, the thing that we say is user design guidance, but you have to test these scenarios. And you have to do it regularly. You have to test that failover between management servers. You have to, if you're using SQL always on, you have to test that and test it early in part of your design as well. Because what we recommend is based on the fact that we know certain loads, but what you may be doing is different. So that's what I would add to that.
Just to add to that as well, making the right design choices when you design and manage groups, all of us spend our time going into badly designed operations management groups. It's probably most of our life, I think it's fair to say. Making the right design choices. So your URL check issue, having a separate resource pool just for those URL checks with enough servers in to do more than it is. So although there's support configurations, always add a bit of lag into that. If you're doing network monitoring, separate management servers for doing network monitoring. SNMP is a very heavy protocol. Don't mix SNMP and agent monitoring together. And even things like gateway servers, we always recommend kind of dedicated management servers for gateways. And there's a reason for that, is that an ops manager sees a gateway server as an agent. So when you've got a management server that's handling, say, 1,000 agents and 50 gateway servers that's got a number of agents behind that, it's going to treat each gateway server with the same alert priority as a single agent. So in that, best advice that a lot of us give is to have dedicated management servers for gateways. So on a fairly medium-sized environment, I always start off with at least 3 management servers in a resource pool. I have one for my agents, one for my gateway servers, and I have a failover one, and actually I attach my console to that, because it's only really there from a failover point of view. And that might be a typical config. So it's thinking about what you're doing, like Daniel said, but then making the right architectural choices to kind of meet that job.
Yeah, thanks. All right, I'm going to ask the panel a question just to kind of change it up. Pete,
In Ops Manager or System Center, what's your favorite scenario that it delivers on?
My favorite scenario. I'm a big fan of any scenario that ties together three or more components. So self-service is one that comes up a lot. I can think of a scenario where basically a government called us and said, "We'll adopt all of System Center if you can do X." And so Operations Manager was actually a key component. They wanted to do some self-service, and I needed to be able to give them lists of applications and so forth. And that required getting a lot of information into my Service Manager CMDB. So Config Manager, CI Connector, Active Directory CI Connector, Ops Manager, CI Connector. Without Ops Manager, the whole thing just crumbled around us. It's not just for monitoring anymore, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's pretty exciting to me, is the more, applications out there you monitor in a stateful way, I can take that information from Ops Manager, there's a CI connector that will put some classes of systems, computers, network devices, etc., into the CMDB, but I can whitelist anything I want. So like your mainframe, I can flip a switch in PowerShell and tell Service Manager, I want you to bring my IBM mainframe data into the CMDB. So, it's free asset management.
You can actually create objects straight with the integration from whatever source.
Yeah, I could, or I can just pull them across the Ops Manager CI connector, because that's better.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't have it in Ops.
That's true, yeah. So, and Anders makes a good point. You can really create any CI class by default, but I think that's what you guys... what 2012 opens for me is when the licensing all came together as a single product, I quit thinking about products, because the common scenario would be, well, we want to do X, but we don't own OpsMan or we don't own ConfigMan. So that's just off the table right now. So people tell me how they want to solve a problem, and I draw it on the board and say, okay, you own all this, so here's how we do it. And we just get things done. So you have to sort of unhinge your mind from that thinking that, I need to take a year and fully deploy OpsMan, I need to take a year and fully deploy ConfigMan. We can do, base deployments to meet a scenario, right? And I don't need to roll it out enterprise-wide. And I think that's what you really want to start moving towards, is just solution thinking and not product thinking.
Thanks, Pete. Raymond, I told you I was going to ask you a question. Raymond, have you ever done any network monitoring deployments with Operations Manager?
No.
Okay.
That was a short answer.
Next
question.
Yeah,
We've done a couple of jobs on network monitoring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think the value Operations Manager provides in the network monitoring space is?
Okay, so for a couple of our, even for customers that already has an existing monitoring tool, like we had customers that was using like Cisco Works or existing HP monitoring tools, I think it brings a level of completeness to the whole architecture or data center monitoring, if you want to call it that. So like the guys that was monitoring the servers and the guys that was monitoring the network used to always be different teams, right? And for some reason, the network guys never ever talked to the server guys. So whenever there was a problem or an application and a user complains about an issue, there's always this round table discussion that never ends. So I guess what benefited having network device monitoring or network monitoring as part of Operations Manager for those customers is now they get to look at the whole picture holistically, right? So from an application mapping perspective, we built like distributed application diagrams to look at a perspective of an application and including network devices as part of those diagrams, right? So now our customers are able to look at the application, look at the operating system that it's hosted on, look at the server, look at the hardware, look at how it's connected to another server, and look at how it's performing on the network. So this really opens up a whole new picture on holistic monitoring.
Thanks, Raymond. So I now have a question for all of you. Okay, no. I said I would answer all questions.
Hi. I'm wondering, will you support any more Java application servers? I was so happy when you introduced that and got back to our developers and say that I can finally monitor Tomcat. And they say, we are moving over to Jetty. And then I was, yeah. So according to the specification for BeanSpy, that they doesn't support Tomcat at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, let me.
That's a good question.
Joe. Yeah, let me turn to the slide that we never had a chance to cover during the overview session and just go through that real quick.
While Joe's bringing that up, the question I was going to ask, we're kind of about at the hour mark. We can finish, the session should run to 6:15. We can take one, two more questions, finish at 6, get you guys out of here, or we can keep going. We'll finish early? Or keep going? We'll keep going. We can be here all night. It's great. This is, Joe?
Sorry. This is the Java stuff. That was the question, right? What are the supported coverage for Java? Before this gentleman leaves, I actually have one question for the crowd. He's leaving.
He's gone.
Just no way back. let me cover this in a second. One thing I want to ask the crowd is, if there's anyone that is interested in signing up or working with us on exploring the next generation of advisor advanced capability that is targeted to private cloud infrastructure management, please come up afterwards to talk to me. We are really interested in working with folks who are infrastructure administrator and is looking for, can't disclose the capabilities publicly, but looking for more advanced capability to manage your private cloud infrastructure, please come see me afterwards, and I'd love to talk to you to sign up for an interesting program that we're thinking of.
Or okay. Joe Chan, J-O-C-H-A-N, at Microsoft.com.
Well, thanks for that.
Hey, Joe, is this current generation APM you're talking about here, or the R2?
This is R2.
Cool.
Yeah. What was the question, Pete?
No, so he answered it.
Okay, I'm jumping back to Java APM right now. So in terms of capability from a functionality standpoint, it's listed on this slide. So you can see that we're going to have basically duration measurement of latency measurement of the calls that are coming in, full stack traces for exception events. We will also capture specific counters. I don't know if you've seen that before. I can jump to the demo real quick to show you what that looks like. For those of you who have not seen it before, it looks like this. If I come to a particular, I might have one open already. Performance event. Oh, please come on, show up. I'll try to answer the question first and I'll show that later. In terms of the coverage there, we will have specific performance counter covered for the application. So when you have a performance violation, you can see whether it's a code problem or is it a resource utilization problem in general, right? Coming from the app, so you see that we have memory utilization, class loader, that type of counters that will reveal that. And so that's a capability perspective. In terms of platform and framework support, what we'll cover is Tomcat version 5.5, version 6, and version 7 on both Linux and Windows. We're going to cover for Java, the framework, version 5 and 6. And those were the web stack that we will cover on there as well as listed there. But this is all that we do in R2 for now. We'll look to expand that in the future.
Yeah, but this is our first foray into Java monitoring. Yeah.
If you can email either of us, and there's also the APM plus the application server management packs as well. If you email us, I can pass it on to the owner, and we can get back to you on what their plans are. And if you have the specific technologies you're looking for, I can give you feedback. Okay.
Yeah, but this is separate from the old the older J2EE, more of the stack monitoring that we provide before 2012 R2. So we had that capability too, but it's more about monitoring the application server itself. And you know that doesn't change, but this is specifically coming from the angle of your Java-based application and what kind of framework support we have there.
And for my money, so I'm the guy that wrote the J2E monitoring bit in the Ops Manager Unleashed book. For my money, if I were about to use the J2E in the current Ops Manager 2012 release or wait for this, I would wait for this. Because this is going to be something much closer to on par with the .NET APM. This is going to be really nice. So, cool. My 2 cents.
Question?
So we're just kicking off a 2012 Service Pack 1 deployment. We've actually deployed the infrastructure following a guy on my team having some training on what we should be deploying. So hopefully it's going to be right. One of the things that I've really struggled with 2007 is that it just feels like we're monitoring a bunch of stuff. It's unintelligent. And the value of the tool, I think, has been massively lost in our current deployment. And I guess it's this focus on the user experience. We've got users all over the globe using services that are in Europe pretty much right now. And how are we going to, is there something that 2012 does different? And this might be a really stupid question, but that is application focused rather than just stuff, just servers, services. What I care about is Exchange doing what it should be doing. I want to know if it's degraded, but can the users still get to their mailboxes? Is this web application still functioning? Is it performant? It's that user experience type of stuff.
I think that's a great point. And one of the things we tried to cover when we talked about our evolution of 2012, it was into thinking less about servers and events and doing that. And what we did introduce in 2007 is the service model and how we think about monitoring services. But it's only really in 2012 we brought some of that together through investments like the 360 application dashboards, which really allow you to model your application. We seed a lot of this for web applications, certainly on .NET and now for Java, the ability to create these rich visualizations that focus on what your things you're talking about, what the user cares about, availability, performance, reliability. And we would certainly continue to make investments like GSM as part of kind of how we bring these dashboards to light. And from even for things like monitoring Azure, again, we provide a template that allows you to easily bring these things in. You mentioned Exchange. Actually, Exchange, what version of Exchange are you? 2010. Yeah, okay. Then 2020 isn't going to solve a lot of your problems either, to be honest. Think about getting to Exchange 2013. I wouldn't say that. For 2010, we need to go back and revisit the management pack for that, and we are currently evaluating that now on how we make that a better experience. There was a lot of work that went into that that didn't really give the right experience for our customers, and we're trying to think about how we're going to address it now.
Sorry. Just to throw one more thing out there about the 2010 pack in defense of Ops Manager, that pack, architecturally speaking, is kind of an anomaly. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I would take that as the very unique exception, not the rule, and sort of evaluate Ops Manager without the Exchange 2010 MP and go
fair.
Forward with
confidence. However, to Pete's maybe right, and he's kind of defending us, it's still my customer, my accountability, and we do need to go look at it, which we will. So
I blame Daniel.
You can blame me. I mean, I'm accountable for management packs. Exchange 2010 is one of them.
Can I add a couple of
Just to your point for what he's saying is you had trouble with Exchange 27 crashing. Yes. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, Exchange. Yeah. Okay. Good point. So we'll investigate it from Exchange perspective, just from a fundamental strategy perspective, that application user perspective. Those are the type of things we'll focus on. The Exchange 2013 MP, completely rewritten from the point up. It's about service touch points, they call them, as in, can the user do what it said it's going to do? And more importantly, Exchange actually tries to recover automatically for this, because it's based on how it's run in Office 365, and they can't be waking up an operator every 2 minutes during the night for something that is just noise, right? They need to focus on the critical things, and that's what we're delivering to you in 2013. The challenge I now have is how do I make sure for 2010 and getting people there we have a good experience. So,
just had a couple three tips for you. Yeah, one, be absolutely bloody ruthless with your tuning. Yeah, right. If you're not going to take an action on it, get rid of it. Yeah, you know, I do a lot of exercise with customers on the initial tuning. I get disk defragment errors coming up. They're like, well, I might kind of use that somewhere down the line. No, you're not going to. You're never going to take an action on it. Get it out. Yeah, be absolutely ruthless if you're not going to do anything. The second thing is, on the end user thing, yeah, what really worked for my customers is put a desktop PC in every office where you've got users. Yeah, you know, every decent sized office. And from that desktop PC, and me and Daniel have kind of done this out in a while with MSIT, but from that desktop PC, use it as a probe PC and run synthetic transactions. And actually, the Exchange ones, the ones in the management pack, and particularly when you look at 2010, only run from the CAS, but we've written things that simulate logging onto a mailbox. You can use synthetic transactions to log onto OWA. You can use scripts that you do round trip latency on SMTP. Yeah, use that box to, and it's not going to be a rocket science on the PCs, but it's going to give you a really good base. Put a ping script on there. Yeah, and just measure the network latency and compare that against the other stuff that you're doing. Put them in all your network locations, pull that data back, use it in your 360-degree monitoring, yeah? The final thing I'll say is distributed application models are king. Yeah, now I say this all the time. I don't know, I did a session this morning. If you can look back on Channel 9, have a look at the session that I did this morning on capacity planning. But distributed application models are the absolute key to getting the best out of Operations Manager. They are the most powerful part of the project. 10% of my customers use them. Yeah, and if you're not really getting to grips with distributed application models, you're not really using Operations Manager how it was intended to be used. It's a key, and there's loads of templates now in the new products and more in R2 that enable you to get there. You've just got to use them. Yeah, and it's simply group. You can add you can have your client stuff in there. You can put your network stuff in there, and you can put your server stuff in there. And your server stuff consists of your back end, your front end, your data tier. If you can nail that, when there's a problem, you go root cause analysis. You go, you click on the root button at the top. It pings down. It shows you the business impact from a user point of view, and it nails the actual root cause of the problem. It's a, you know, it drives you to where the issue is. Get your head into that and whack them out. And build your own one for Exchange. Don't rely on the one out of the box. Because for me, Exchange isn't just Exchange, it's messaging. Yeah, it's archiving, it's BlackBerry, it's, you know, all of the other elements that you do with it. Build a messaging one and add all those tiers into it, and you'll solve those problems you've been having. Yeah?
Thanks, Gordon. We will continue and invest in what we provide out of the box. I mean, obviously, there's field and knowledge that these guys will land that'll take it to the next level. But we obviously have to provide what we do out of the box. Obviously, GSM, Global Service Monitor, I mean, don't have to necessarily deploy desktops, but maybe network limitations mean you use your own internal infrastructure. We support that. Pete, you wanted to add something?
So I want to say two things. So number one, in defense of the Exchange 2010 MP, it's not impossible to tune. It can be challenging if you don't know how to tune it. You talk to Daniel. I'm sure he'll connect you with the right resources to understand a strategy. Because I would plan for is survival with the existing pack, right? Microsoft has a lot on their plate. I wouldn't be surprised if they say, you know what, maybe we're not going to go back and completely revamp this pack. And so be ready for that. Everything Gordon said, I agree with that. Lock, stock, and barrel, a lot of the same thoughts there. Active Directory client perspective monitoring is not for clients, it's for directory-enabled applications like Exchange. So when you think about that sort of 360 experience monitoring, think about dropping, you know, some of your key Exchange servers into the client monitoring. You add them to a group, basically. It flips that on, and they're going to do 7, 8, 9, 10 sort of tests against your Active Directory. You know, do I have enough GCs? Am I finding a GC in my site? That sort of information. That's cost me a day of my time, you know, more than once when I didn't use that prospective monitoring, and it saved me a day more than once when I did. So.
Yeah, and if, to add on that, if you think it's complicated to write all the scripts to do what Gordon suggested, which was good Gordon, yeah, you can really easy build it in a runbook and then generate alert in Ops Manager as a first start. It's super easy just to query AD and measure the time it takes and just generate alert if needed.
Amen.
From a macro message perspective, I just want to like wrap up emphasizing just what Daniel mentioned earlier. I mean, the recommendation these guys give you is great in terms of trying to tactically solve the problem that we have today. But I remember the first part of your question is, we're showing a lot of the APM stuff, the Azure stuff. You know, are we committed to workload? Absolutely committed to workload. Absolutely. You will see the new SQL management pack that is coming out. I personally partner with the SQL team, and there is some great innovation coming out of that. We just don't have enough time to show everything. Like, we ran out of time on the overview session, just trying to show just stuff that is directly built by the team. But we partner with the SQL team to build some new capability in terms of visualization, where they're taking a leadership position to do that. Exchange team, again, you know, I've emphasized what Daniel is saying. They learn from the 2010 lesson. And really, if you think about the problem that was inherent in the 2010 management pack, is architectural complexity, configuration complexity. They took that all out, right? They took that all out in 2013 and moved to a model where that complexity is captured in the product itself, and the management pack is clean. It's very, very clean. Now, whenever you make an architectural change like that, functionality, you know, is a trade-off, right? And you know, they are definitely very much aware of that, and will invest back into making sure that the monitoring capability would come back to the bar on what you expect it to be. But is a very deliberate decision to ensure that long-term quality is in place, right? And that is a very difficult and costly decision that they took, and they took it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Jake. So we're going to wrap it up there. I want to say thank you to our panel, Gordon, Pete, Anders, Raymond, Joseph. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate it. I mean, we're done for the day. We'll hang around if there's more questions. Just the recording's going to miss out. But yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.